Good morning and welcome to KGNU Public Affair. I'm your host, Tish Buford. We have a very special guest in studio with us this morning. She's an amazing lady and I can't wait for you all to meet her. She is a philanthropist, activist, and an entrepreneur with deep Colorado ties. And she is going to share a lot of her experience and background in philanthropy. And she's also going to talk about what it's like as a woman of color during the pandemic in transitioning careers, starting over, and what the workplace is looking like for women in general, especially women of color, and what it's like to be in the front lines of activism in this divisive political environment. So I want to welcome the lovely and very talented Ms. Deborah Jackson with us. And how are you doing this morning?
Oh, thank you so much, Ms. Tish. I am doing well. Thank you. Hanging in there.
Deborah, you are the founder of DJAX Administrative Services, and this has been a dedicated part of your career for a better part of a decade and a half. And you do a lot of great work in the administrative level, on the executive level, project manager with large Fortune 500 companies. But you also do something that's equally, if not more important. You have quite a footprint in activism and philanthropy, as I just mentioned at the beginning of our interview here in introducing you. You have worked with affiliations with Save Our Youth, United Way, Family Promise, Habitat for Humanity, and you are currently serving as a member, secretary, and chair of planning and fundraising on the board of directors for Council of Aging. And this is a nonprofit agency that serves people specifically at the age of 60 or older in Union County, North Carolina, where you reside. So you got quite a bit on your plate here, and you're doing quite a bit for the community and being a woman of color and a self-made entrepreneur. So where shall we begin?
Here's the thing. I think that, I was thinking about, what I do for a living, as a virtual administrative assistant. And so when I decided I was going to kind of step back out of corporate, I realized that, I needed to do something where I felt like I was really touching the people, right? I felt like I could really make a difference and have a more of a personal impact. I decided that I wanted to work with agencies that are nonprofit agencies that are, doing work in their communities and serving the populace. I decided that I would seek out organizations that, I felt really tied to. Council on Aging is one of those. I think the things that I went through taking care of my mom, who was diagnosed with a terminal illness some years ago, was a reason that I got involved with this agency. And I thought, how wonderful to be able to kind of honor my mom, but also give back to the community as well, based on some experiences that I've had.
That is wonderful. And I am so sorry to hear about your mother passing. Mm-hmm. And that is a void, no matter how old you are, that you never, ever get over.
No, absolutely do not.
But I have lost my mother as well within the last 3 months or so. But what I know both of our parents would want from us, specifically our mothers, my mother, and I know your mother too, would want us to take that void and fill it with purpose.
Absolutely.
And I know that's what I am doing. Mm-hmm. And I know that's what you are doing with this outreach. Now, in transitioning from corporate America into your own business and helping nonprofit agencies that you feel, in kinship with, mm-hmm. and like-mindedness with, mm-hmm. What was the factor that just made you decide it's time for me to make this change? Did the pandemic accelerate that decision, or were you already in the wheelhouse and transitioning before the pandemic hit in early 2020?
Well, actually, I was already in the process of transitioning out. And here's something that I think is interesting. I think, I made a conscious or maybe a not conscious decision some years ago that I knew where I wasn't going to be, or for a long period of time. And I realized that my purpose was bigger than what I was doing. So came the end of 2019, I just decided, you know what, it was time. I believe that God gives us a window of opportunity in which to do things. And so that was my time, my calling, to step away and to start walking in my purpose. And so, interestingly, I started 2020 in a new community in North Carolina. And I decided that, all right, well, I'll take a month or so off and then I'll start looking for permanent employment again in corporate. Well, I started getting my feelers out there. I think I set up probably about 15, 16, you know, networking events, because I don't know anybody out here in North Carolina. And then one by one, everything started shutting down. This was probably about March of 2020. And so April comes along and I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do now? I have these skills, right? These fantastic administrative skills. I still want to serve people. I still want to do work, right? And, but we're in the middle of a pandemic. Who is in the world is going to start a business in the middle of a pandemic? That would be me. So I decided, you know what, I can incorporate myself and I can still do the work that I love to do and still serve a population of people and groups that I love. And so I decided to open up the doors of my business in May of 2020. So did the pandemic accelerate what I was trying to do or was destined to do? Yes, it did. But it also taught me, it also showed me how resilient I was and how, you know, you have two choices, I think, in life. You can either, you know, plow forward or you can just absolutely sit down and give up. And I wasn't going to let the pandemic, you know, sidetrack me. Contrary to what people think and believe, there is still opportunity amidst the pandemic for work and partnerships with people who have businesses and other entrepreneurs. And so I've been really fortunate and I'm still, you know, walking this journey of entrepreneurship. It is not easy, but I see that what I do still helps people and the services that I provide still is viable. And so again, in spite of the pandemic, I've decided that I'm going to keep doing what I'm called to do, right? And that is serve people and help people.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, that's essentially what you want to lay your spiritual capital on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what I have found is that during the pandemic for women, we were in charge of a lot more within the employment numbers and percentages and people even realized. Mm-hmm. And that encompassed childcare. And it encompassed most women working a primary job or a secondary job. Mm-hmm. It encompassed most women of color, primarily, again, being the head of households with no secondary income from a partner or spouse.
Or to take it further, because you know the journey that I've been on with my sister, right? Just being a care, they don't call them caregivers anymore, care partners, right? And so everything that I feel like, you know, we do as women, as Black women, right, is compounded. And I feel like just juggling, you know, starting a business, you know, trying to develop partnerships in the midst of, you know, being that primary care partner to my sister, and who's got some medical things going on, but she's doing amazing. You know her story. I'm agreeing with what you're saying. It's like, you know, there's so much, I guess, so much, I don't know, so much more riding on the Black woman in this time.
We're already at a disproportionate advantage on what are normally deemed to be normal circumstances, which have never been normal for Black women and women of color.
Yes.
But then you add in the piece of being a medical provider or a health partner to someone who is disabled or chronically or terminally ill.
Right.
My mother was terminally ill, and we had to travel from Colorado to Monroe, Louisiana, mm-hmm. which is on the other side of the country, and mm-hmm. make several trips within mm-hmm. the last several months of her life mm-hmm. to caretake for her, and then ultimately transport her back to Denver, where she succumbed to her illness in of August of this year. Mm-hmm. And now you also have a sister that has had severe medical illness, and now she lives with you, and you are her primary caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On top of being an entrepreneur and also doing your own activism work, mm-hmm. it is something that people, I believe, grossly underappreciate.
I think you're right.
And
no, I think you're right.
And the reason why we have such amazing women like you on this show is because we want to give credence and light and airtime to your story, because there's so many of these silent heroes that go unrecognized. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure, I want to make sure that we provide a stage to your dedication and your hard work. It is necessary. And without you, without your contributions and dedication to family and to our neighbors and to our elders and to our community and to Black and female entrepreneurs, if we do not have more like you, that demographic will continue to shrink and shrink and become more challenged than it is already. So you are definitely someone that is beyond incredible. You are a superhero with an invisible cape.
You know, I so appreciate that, but I see myself as just on this earth to serve others, to help others. I'm not just here to take up air and space, right? I think that we all have a calling on our lives to, you know, do good, to do good works, but genuinely do that. I look at, you know, what I do, you know, for a living and what I do in service to others in my outreach, in my philanthropy. I can't separate the two. I can't compartmentalize the two. It absolutely, what I do for a living has to be an extension of who I am. Again, why I feel like I'm on this earth. And that is to absolutely make a difference. And so for me, if I make a difference, you know, I call it, you know, one task at a time based on, you know, my administrative background, then so be it. But absolutely here to make a difference for people.
Absolutely. And which is why we're honored to have you here with us to talk about your journey. And what I would like to do on the other side of our break is get into some of the specific work that you've done with Habitat for Humanity and the COA nonprofit agency and some of the other organizations such as United Way and Family Promise that you've mm-hmm. been working with, and share some of your stories and some of the things you've accomplished with them with our audience this morning. So we'll get into that on the other side of this break. You all are listening to KGNU Public Affair. I am your host, Tish Buford, and we have the lovely and wonderful and gracious Ms. Deborah Jackson with us today, the founder of DJAX Administrative Services. She is also an activist and philanthropist, and she is an outreach go-getter, and she is just a beast in the community out where she serves in Union County, North Carolina. And we're going to get into some of the great work she is doing with some of the organizations that we mentioned for our break. So let's get back into what you're doing in some of these organizations. So let's start with COA. What specific work do you do for them serving on the board of directors?
Okay. So this is the current organization that I've aligned myself with that I feel, again, so closely connected with because of, you know, how I took care of my mom, my sister and I before she passed away, and concerned about the plight of, you know, older adults, older Americans, right? And them being able to have the resources and the things that they need so they can stay independent and be in their home. I think that sometimes our older population can sometimes be not forgotten, but invisible to some degree. And I think that people who have not necessarily been down the road and had the experience to take care of their older parents and or to know what it's like to wonder about the resources and what's available to them in their communities and how are they going to get certain services in the house. And that could be from Medicaid to, you know, Medicare. And how do we do this? And how do I get on a program? All of those things that are, you know, are concerns or real concerns for people that are older and the people, the caregivers that are caring for them. How are they going to stay in their homes? You know, how am I going to work during the day and, you know, take care of mom or dad? And how do we make sure that they are safe as possible? And how do we get on, you know, again, certain programs and what programs are available to us? And so when I had the opportunity to serve on this board, I jumped at it because I certainly understand how important it is for older Americans to be able to stay independent, to remain independent. We had a fundraiser breakfast about a month ago, and we had the MC ask a question to the audience. And that question was, how many people in this audience want to go into you know, a skilled nursing facility or a nursing home when they, you know, hit a certain age? And like not one hand went up. That is because they are, again, you know, the work that the Council on Aging does to ensure or to help older Americans stay in their home is so viable. And so this group is something that is so close to my heart because, again, my own personal, you know, journey with what I learned from, you know, caring for my mother at home. I learned and I saw a lot of things and I thought that, you know what, based on my experience, I felt like I could, you know, add value to this organization.
That is such a wonderful organization and cause to be a part of because our senior citizen men and women already get discriminated against because of ageism.
Yes.
And there are people that, and I hate to use the word, they use predatory actions.
Yes.
But they do because they go after them because they think they're easy targets for financial fraud, medical fraud, abuse, neglect.
Absolutely. And you know, something else I think too, is that I think that people just, there's so much information out there that people don't know about. I think that people don't know about it. People don't have voices. They don't have advocates to find things out for them, to know where to go, to tap into certain programs, whether that be, you know, food, whether that be transportation, whether that be, you know, DMEs, that's the durable medical equipment, the walkers, the handrails, you know, those types of things. There's so much that people do not know. You know, where am I going to go for like a day program? You know, that kinds of stuff. In-home services that people need. They can't get out. You know, they're isolated. They don't have family members or friends that, you know, could help out. And so my work on this agency is so rewarding because I see firsthand, I hear firsthand how much of an impact we have in our community. And let's face it, you know, we are aging and the people that are older, I mean, we're aging longer. These types of organizations are so needed today in our community. So I'm really happy to be affiliated with this particular one.
Well, I'm glad that you're affiliated with them too. And and it's something that, again, we do not talk enough about honestly in our society about how undercared that our elderly and senior citizens who have paid their dues.
Yes,
absolutely. To our society who do not get the respect and care and the attention that they need.
Absolutely. And,
so I praise your advocacy work and your dedication and your peers' work on this. And this is just phenomenal. Phenomenal work. And now some of the other organizations that you've worked on in the past, Save Our Youth, the United Way and Family Promise and Habitat for Humanity, what kind of areas of emphasis or projects did you work on with those organizations?
Well, you know, Habitat for Humanity, you know, most people know that name is synonymous with you know, affordable housing. Right?
Exactly.
And so a lot of that work I did, I was working with Travelers at the time, and I served as chair on their community outreach, field outreach program. And so I did a lot of work with Habitat through Travelers with them, but the Save Our Youth program, of course, and that is, you know, an organization that's dedicated to getting mentorship for the youth. And so that was an organization that I work with, again, through our Travelers Community Relations Committee, United Way. United Way, I had an affiliation with them. Actually, we had a group of employees work on Project Homeless Connect. You know, they have a one day set aside, and they have people come in from to do haircuts, people that talk about all kinds of services that are available, whether it's food services or, you know, housing programs and things like that, where they can get clothes, where they can get, you know, hot meals, things like that. And so that was a project that we worked on as well. I think, you know, what at the end of the day, what's interesting is that I look at all of the community involvement and the affiliations that I've done over the past years, and it all still rings out to the same thing. I am absolutely passionate about helping others and people. And so whether it's building houses, whether it's giving food out, whether it's, you know, helping people find a service, whether it's, you know, helping people, just helping people, period. Whether it's helping animals, I'm affiliated with the Humane Society of the United States. Volunteerism and activism, being involved in our community, being involved in the world, in doing something to help somebody other than yourself is absolutely what I'm called to do.
With everything that you were talking about, it's not the number of organizations that you are a part of, it's what you do.
It's what you do. Yeah, it's what I do.
It's what you do, because, yep. You know, I'm going to sound a little cynical here, and this is not, you know, geared towards the exclusive audience of one, but we have gotten to an era that people are a bit neurotic about philanthropy.
Yes.
And it's become the new hustle. What I always remind people is that if someone is going to take philanthropy and activism as a neurotic act, then mm-hmm. that person was probably selfish and neurotic to begin with.
Right.
And it wouldn't matter what subject or task they were doing.
Right, right.
I say this because there are some bad actors out there who are conflating the good work that people like yourself are trying to do, mm-hmm. and they're trying to muddy the waters.
Right,
with
right.
divisive and vitriol language and divisive action that is negative and hurts innocent people. Yeah. And I only say that now just because of the extreme environment that we're living in right now.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think, you know what, here's a difference though. You know, I don't do anything out of and how I choose to lend my support or help others. I don't do it because of, my mother used to have a saying, I don't do it for form or fashion. I do it because I believe in it. I do it because I believe in giving back. And I believe in, again, you know, for me, it's as basic as I am on this earth to help others, to serve. I'm simply not here to just take up air and space. And I don't believe that that's what we're called to do. I believe we are called to something bigger than ourselves. And I know that sounds cliche, but it's the absolute truth.
Absolutely, it is the truth. And I couldn't think of a better messenger and a better advocate to convey that message, because you definitely walk the talk and you are definitely doing the work at home with your sister. And I wanted to share with our audience this morning real quickly before we leave that Monica used to live here in Colorado as well. With you, you guys both lived out here before moving to North Carolina. That's how I became acquainted with your sister, who yes. I interviewed a few years ago on my show. And then yes. visited an update on her story with yes. her getting her education from Colorado Christian University, just like yourself. So you both mm-hmm. are amazing women. And it's my honor and privilege to have had you on the show this morning to share you with our community. And I cannot wait to have you back again.
Well, I so thank you very much, Tish, for your time this morning and just for, you know, asking me to be on your show and to share a little bit about my journey. And, you know, certainly there's so much more to the story than 30 minutes will allow, but I just appreciate, again, you having me on the show, and hopefully, you know, some of the things I've said will resonate with others. And I just thank you again for this honor, for asking me. And thank you so much for your kind words of my sister. She's such an inspiration to me. And I really couldn't do a whole lot of things without her, without her support.
Well, you both are an inspiration to women, Black women, and all women everywhere. And you guys are just phenomenal human beings.
Bless your heart.
Thank you so much for being on our show. And you all have been listening to the wonderful and amazing Ms. Deborah Jackson. Thank you again for being with us. And you have a great, safe holiday and a happy new year.
You too, darling. Thank you so much.
Safe holidays, everyone. Take care. And thank you for listening.